Parents, this story is meant for kids ages 9 and up as it contains some intense action sequences. Ultimately, you're the judge, and if your kid can handle the original Star Wars trilogy, they should be just fine. Enjoy! Previously on Norb, someone left a note and a sack of glowing marbles on Preston's doorstep. The note called the marbles Norbs and included instructions on where to place them in his backyard. As Preston placed the Norbs, strange things started to happen, and, well, his backyard ate him. Sort of. His lawn transformed into a big sphere ship, enclosing him inside and launching him through space. When Preston finally landed and exited the craft, he found himself on a planet covered in blue sand dunes. And now for episode 2, The Bishkai. The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Norb. There are only two reasonable reactions any kid could have in a situation like this. The most likely and justifiable reaction would be to go into panic mode and freak out completely. The other is to act like it's all just a dream and then set out looking for help. If there's one thing that Preston learned in Boy Scouts, besides Indian toilet paper not really being toilet paper, it was to never panic when lost. He calmed down and came to his senses. Letting out a long breath, he clumsily stepped out onto the vibrant blue sand and scanned the landscape. It was warm outside, and the air had the smell of a salty ocean. Gray storm clouds occasionally shadowed the endless dunes. Swirling blue dust devils danced across the sand. The only thing missing from the scene was a life-size Fun Dip sugar stick. Preston imagined licking it and running it through the gigantic mounds of blue raspberry powder. Oh, delicious Fun Dip. It was the first happy thought he'd had since he'd been eaten alive by his backyard. Preston held on to it and forced more happy fantasies into his head as he set out in search of any signs of life. At the top of one of the nearby dunes, he noticed a dark figure standing there facing him. "Hey!" he shouted. "Hey, down here!" He waved his hands to get the stranger's attention, but the person didn't move. "You're gonna make me climb up that hill?" Preston shouted. Again, no answer. Mumbling complaints under his breath, Preston trudged through sand up the massive dune. When he reached the top, he nearly jumped at the sight of a hideous figure, a scarecrow of some sort, tied to a post. It had an alien look about it, and flies swarmed around its torn black clothes. Preston sniffed the air. Oh! He gagged at the rotten stench. Trying not to breathe through his nose, he circled the dummy, looking it over. On the back side, he noticed a stone resting in the sand with alien carvings on it. A tombstone? He squatted down to get a better look at it. Something scurried through the sand next to him. Whoa! He jumped and turned, trying to see what it was, but it was gone. Only sand blew across the dune in a whistling wind. He was about to turn back to the stone when another bump appeared in the sand, crawled a few feet, and then disappeared. What the? Preston carefully stepped away from the scarecrow. More bumps started appearing and disappearing. Eerie, high-pitched clicks sounded beneath his feet. Something was sliding between his legs. Poof, poof, poof! Giant spiders sprang out of the sand. As if in slow motion, Preston watched their bodies fly up to eye level, their black, hairy legs clawing at the air, their blue eyes blinking open. They were nearly as big as Preston. Their fanged mouths on the bottom of their stomachs opened wide, hungry, dripping drool, shaking with that horrible clicking noise. There was only one thing Preston feared more than finding himself at school without pants, and that was spiders.
Go!
He turned and booked it back down the dune, kicking up sand and tumbling between strides. Spiders sprang out of the ground and hopped after him, little blue poofs following their every bounce. Preston sprinted for the ship. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw something red jumping in and out of the neighboring dune. Like a red dolphin, it swam just under the sand, briefly breaching the surface for a breath before diving back in. It was coming this way. After one last dive, the creature didn't resurface, making Preston panic even more.
What the heck was that?
Just as he reached the bottom of the hill, something splashed out of the sand in front of him. A big red beast of a man flew up into the air, a being stacked with muscle, wearing nothing but a brown loincloth. His long black hair floated at his sides. The huge man raised his massive arms toward the charging spiders behind Preston. Ping, ping! Two discs shot out of little mechanisms attached to his triceps, splitting two spiders into gooey halves. He landed his jump with a roll and then shoved Preston out of the way so he could charge the remaining fanged creatures. Ping, ping, ping! Three more spiders exploded from his tricep discs. Four spiders lunged for the man's face. In one swift motion, he flipped a staff with a battle axe on either end off his back and into his hands. With a couple of graceful spins and swipes, all four creatures dropped at his feet in a pile of twitching black legs. Clenching his battle axe staff, the man waited eagerly for the others. Purple liquid dripped from his blades onto the blue sand. The few remaining spiders stopped mid-charge and burrowed back into the dunes, screeching and clicking. Scanning the horizon for any stragglers, the red man flipped his staff axe over his shoulder and clipped it to his back. He turned and walked over to Preston, who was still lying on the ground, amazed and out of breath. Preston looked the man up and down. He had to be at least 7.5 feet tall, maybe taller. Said the beast, holding out its hand to help Preston up. He had a very human-like face, despite the fact he was red from head to toe and had eyes as blue as the sand. His face was strong, serious, and defined.
I don't understand, Preston said, making weird sign language movements with his hands as if it were going to help. I don't know what you're saying.
The man reached into the pouch at his side and pulled out what looked like a small transparent hearing aid. Preston cowered back as the man reached for his ear.
Nakrita,
the man insisted, and Preston held still. The man placed the device behind Preston's ear and clicked it into place. The second it snapped on, Preston felt a sharp sting that was followed by a high-pitched beep. The man pulled another device from his pouch and clipped it behind his own ear.
Can you understand me?
Repeated the massive man in perfect English.
I can.
Preston stroked the device behind his ear, stunned at the incredible technology. The man took a step closer and in a deep, serious voice said,
I am Kenga.
I'm Preston.
Preston grabbed Kenga's massive outstretched hand and was pulled to his feet like a weightless rag doll. The translator had somehow tapped into not only his understanding, but also his speech, allowing him to communicate with the beast.
Are you speaking my language?
Preston asked. Kenga shook his head.
I am not. We are each speaking our own language.
He looked over Preston's shoulder at the ship and then back at him.
Nearly every planet in this galaxy uses this technology. It has been programmed with over 1 million languages and dialects.
Preston shrugged, not quite sure how to make sense of it. All he knew for certain was that wearing the thing made him feel like an old man, and if he'd had one of these 3 weeks ago, he would have done a lot better on his test in Spanish class.
Kenga looked at him skeptically. You are not familiar with the translator, and yet you arrive on such a sophisticated craft. You have much to tell. We will take this conversation to a safer place. Are you alone?
Yeah, I just...
Good. Hold your breath.
What?
Before Preston could react, Kanga's hand clamped over his face like giant salad tongs. He pulled Preston's face up into his chest and held it tightly.
Close your eyes.
Holding the boy close, he dove into the soft sand. Kanga swam deep into the dune. Preston's mouth and eyes squeezed tighter. The feeling of plunging through cold, grainy sand sent tingles through his body. He could feel Kanga's legs behind him flapping like the fin of a dolphin. They swam deeper and deeper. The pressure was building. Preston's lungs ached for breath. Kanga's fast strokes slowed to gentle kicks. Preston couldn't take it anymore. He was never good at holding his breath, and it's not like Kanga gave him much of a heads up to prepare. Just when he thought he'd pass out, their head slowly emerged from the sand. No longer feeling the rushing of sand on his face, Preston opened his eyes and saw a room with a bed, table, and a few pieces of odd stone furniture. It didn't take him long to realize that he and Kanga were upside down, their heads poking out of the room's sandy blue ceiling. Preston moaned. Kanga scanned the room to make sure it was empty, and then finally ungripped his hand from Preston's face. Preston immediately coughed and gasped for air.
Oh!
He could feel the blood rushing to his head.
Please tell me we're not stuck like this, he wheezed.
He'd been buried neck deep at the beach before, but never while hugging a sweaty giant upside down.
Shh! We cannot be seen, Kanga whispered.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Say another word, and I will leave you here.
Preston shut his mouth. Kanga scissor kicked through the sand until his and Preston's bodies went from vertical to horizontal, gradually appearing through the ceiling. With one last kick, they dropped to their feet. Kanga quickly walked over to the door and made sure it was locked, while Preston dusted the sand off his clothes. Preston tried to avoid the lifeless gaze of the alien beast heads that were mounted on the sandy blue walls, like hunting trophies. Once the room was secure, Kanga turned and examined the peculiar boy.
Why are you here?
Look, I know this sounds crazy, but I found some instructions and a bag of voodoo marbles that turned my backyard into a spaceship. It ate me and shot me into space. Hands down, the most insanely overboard birthday present anyone has ever given me. I would have been perfectly happy with a video game or a nice card or... I guess it's possible my mom drugged my French toast?
Preston took a seat on a stone chair and shook the sand out of his hair.
Those creepy scarecrows you have up there, they didn't work worth beans.
Kanga looked confused.
What is a scarecrow?
You know, it's that nasty thing you made on the surface to scare away those spiders.
The Rachna. It is not meant to scare away the Kimbo. It is a grave marker for a very special burial site.
But the smell! You weren't trying to drive the spiders away with it?
The Andu spices that adorn a Rachna are a tribute we leave for those who have passed. You should not have been there.
Kanga's voice grew especially deep and stern.
It is a bad omen to visit a grave you know nothing of. Only Kimbo are welcome to trespass. They are the Bishkai's main diet. We are the only planet in the galaxy that has them.
He pointed to a plate near the bed that had a half-eaten spider sitting in a pool of purple liquid.
Oh, lucky you, Preston gagged.
He imagined trying to go to sleep with something like that next to his bed. He coughed some more.
His mouth was dry and full of sand. Can I have some water?
We do not have water here. The liquid that sustains us comes from the Kimbo.
Preston looked back at the plate of spider.
You don't mean... You drink its blood?
It is rich in nutrients and gives us the red skin pigment we are known for.
So those are Kimbo... And you're a Bishkai?
That is correct. Where are you from, boy?
I'm from Earth. The planet Earth? Preston struggled to pull his eyes away from the rank, fuzzy Kimbo slop next to him.
Yeesh.
The limbs had been cracked open and eaten clean like a plate of crab legs. Kanga's expression changed.
Earth, he whispered, as if the very name brought a flood of devastating memories.
He studied Preston's features more carefully.
Earth from the Milky Way galaxy?
Preston nodded, uneasy with the look he was getting.
You must leave immediately, Kanga said.
Oh, please not again.
If we are lucky, I might be able to get you off this planet safely. But first, I must be sure.
Be sure of what? Kanga's huge hand clamped over Preston's face again. He pulled Preston close and with three running steps, dove into the sandy wall, vanishing in a poof of blue. They swam through the sand, much faster this time, zigzagging and swerving until, poof, they popped out of a wall and landed in another room.
Yeah!
A Bishkai jumped back the second they burst through. This Bishkai was much older than Kanga. His long gray hair and beard were streaked with black. He too had red skin and piercing blue eyes. He was shorter than Kanga, but just as bulky, basically Santa with a bad sunburn. The old Bishkai wore a black plastic lab suit and black gloves as if he were some kind of scientist.
Kanga, what is going on? Who?
The man stopped himself when he got a good look at Preston. Horror swept over his face.
No.
Kanga quickly reached behind Preston's ear and flipped off the interpreter. Then he turned back to the older Bishkai. Preston watched as the two red men spoke intensely in their gravelly native tongue.
Feshblachen tuinifu, shunga telefi,
they whispered. Preston looked around the room. They were in some sort of science lab full of test tubes and machines. Colorful vials bubbled on shelves, and there were charts with strange alien writing. Glass cases housed slimy and scaly critters who were clearly undergoing various experiments. Next to them, steaming liquid floated out of pots through the air and into upside-down pots on the ceiling. After a few minutes, the conversation came to an end, and Kanga flipped Preston's translator back on.
Do not worry. I will return shortly, he said, his voice full of panic. This man needs to perform a few tests on you. We expect your full cooperation. Understand?
Preston nodded, still confused and terrified. Of course he would cooperate. What other choice did he have? It was a little reassuring that the man had just saved his life. But that feeling of reassurance faded as he watched Kanga turn and dive into the wall. After a long moment, the scientist slowly turned to Preston and pointed to a chair.
Sit.
Preston sat in the uncomfortable steel seat. As soon as he was situated, the scientist walked over and strapped Preston's arms and feet to the cold metal. This was obviously not going to be your ordinary doctor's checkup.
Wait, what are you going to do to me?
Preston tugged at his restraints. The only time he'd ever seen a chair like this was in the movies when they were about to turn someone into some kind of mindless monster.
Relax, the scientist said. This is just a simple blood test.
He walked over to a table and readied his instruments. When he returned, Preston saw what was in his hand and closed his eyes. He didn't want to watch.
Hold still, the man said.
Preston felt a pinch in his arm. He winced in pain.
There.
Preston opened his eyes to see the scientist put a black bandage on his arm and walk away with a tube full of blood. Preston watched the bandage dissolve into his skin within seconds. The old Bishkai was mumbling to himself as he ran tests on Preston's blood, dropping liquids into it and studying it under what looked like a handheld microscope. Preston rubbed his pulsing arm and thought about how much he didn't want to be poked with needles on his birthday. The tests took forever. Time seemed to slow while the scientist tinkered at his workstation, occasionally grunting, scratching his head, and taking notes. By the sounds he was making, he didn't seem too satisfied with the results. The old Bishkai stopped and thought for a moment. Then he glanced over at Preston, who was busy trying to cheer himself up by quietly singing,
Don't worry, Be happy. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
The scientist raised an eyebrow at the little glass vial of blood in his hand. Trying to be discreet, he brought it to his lips and drank it. After swishing it around for a few seconds, he swallowed and smacked his lips, analyzing the taste. Preston acted like he didn't just see a Santa Claus-looking alien take a swig of his blood. So he sang louder.
Don't worry. Be happy.
The scientist stared at him, almost in a stupor, a look of realization crossing his face. With a flex of his huge fist, he shattered the little empty vial. The sound made Preston stop singing.
Is everything okay? He asked. Look, I know my sugar levels have to be off the charts, but...
Preston stopped himself as the scientist threw open a drawer and pulled out a silver blaster.
What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Preston couldn't believe what was happening. He was about to get blasted for donating blood?
Back on Earth, they'd give you a big lollipop for donating blood.
He struggled against his restraints.
Wait, please, let's talk about this.
Face trembling, the scientist flipped on the blaster and walked towards him. He aimed it at Preston. Every muscle in Preston's body tensed.
I don't understand. What did I do?
Above them, Kanga's face slowly emerged from the sandy ceiling.
What didn't you do? Whispered the scientist with the eyes of a wild man. I can't let you. Boom!
Kanga dropped down from the ceiling and landed on the scientist, slamming him hard to the ground. Preston spit blue sand out of his mouth and shook it off his head. Kanga was at his feet, holding the man down. The scientist tried desperately to push Kanga off.
The boy must die! You have to trust me, Kanga! If he's found, we'll all be killed! We need the boy alive, Kanga roared. This is not our way. There is more to be learned.
The scientist slipped his secret vial from his sleeve and with a quick turn threw it in Kanga's face, shattering it on his cheek. Kanga jumped back and held his face. The scientist lunged for the blaster, but before he could reach it, Kanga kicked it up into his hand and fired. The room fell silent. Preston's heart pounded against his chest. The last time he'd seen someone die was his grandpa. He stared down at the motionless scientist, a trail of smoke rising from his chest. Kanga looked just as mortified. He stared between the blaster in his hand and the scientist.
You just blew that guy away!
That is incorrect, Kanga said calmly. This weapon stopped his heart with a hot laser. Wind had nothing to do with it.
He pulled his hand from his cheek, revealing a scar from the vial's acid. Perplexed, he turned the blaster over in his hand and then put it into a sack he had at his side.
A strange, cowardly weapon.
He looked back down at the scientist.
That was not supposed to happen.
Suddenly, muffled shouts rang out from the sandy halls. Kanga ran over and tore the restraints clean off Preston's chair.
You better be worth it.
He grabbed Preston's arm and pulled him towards the wall. Poof, poof, poof! Three Bishkai guards burst through the opposite wall with axes in hand. They looked down at the dead scientist, and then up at them.
Kanga?
One of them said. Kanga held onto Preston and dove into the blue wall. Preston held his breath as they swam up and up. Splash! They shot out of the dune surface like breaching whales. Preston gasped for air just in time for them to dive back in.
Poof!
In and out they swam, faster and faster, through the sand towards Preston's ship in the distance.
Poof, 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 poof!
More Bishkai soldiers shot up out of the sand behind them, roaring like wild animals every time they came up for air. They were so close, Preston couldn't tell if the sand hitting his face was coming from them or the pursuing soldiers. With one last kick, Kanga and Preston shot out of the sand and landed in front of the ship's open door.
Go!
Kanga yelled, literally throwing Preston through the opening and running in behind him. He immediately punched the button inside. The door groaned as it closed.
just before it could seal shut, it was jammed on one of the soldier's axes. The axe squirmed and flailed, trying to pry the door open. Kanga took a step back and, lifting his knee high, stomped on the axe. With a crunch, the axe popped out of the way, allowing the door to seal. Preston quickly buckled himself into the chair. He could hear the soldiers outside roaring furiously. Kanga looked around the sphere room.
What are you waiting for? Get us out of here.
I don't know how to fly this thing. It flew itself.
You are telling me this now?
Kanga started frantically mashing buttons on the control panel.
Fly! Fly, fly, fly!
After several failed attempts, he pressed the blue light on the control panel, and another seat emerged from the grassy cockpit interior, just as Preston's had. Kanga sat in it and fiddled with the control panel's gadgets, trying to turn the ship on. He studied the panel more carefully, and with a few flip switches, the ship hummed on.
Oh man, you did it!
No thanks to you, Kanga growled.
Outside, the guards were pounding on the door with their axes and fists. Preston could make out a few of them saying,
Kanga, what have you done?
He looked at Kanga and gave a hopeful smile. Think you can fly this thing? Kanga grabbed the acceleration lever and looked at Preston.
Probably not, but we will die trying.
Preston's smile vanished. Boom! With a quick pull of the lever, they blasted off the sandy surface towards space. They watched the blue dunes gradually vanish in the giant monitor as they passed through the cloudy atmosphere out into the starry unknown. Kanga! Woo! I got a special place in my heart for Kanga. I'm so excited that he's finally introduced, and I can't wait for you to get to know him a little more. Kanga is the man. He's awesome. Rocketeers, I hope you're enjoying this story. It's been way more challenging editing this than I thought it would be. I know I said this on the last episode, because I wrote this well over 10 years ago, and like almost 14 years ago, 14 years. Holy smokes. And so trying to update the writing a little bit, I almost wish I just like rewrite the whole thing from scratch, but I'm not doing that. I'm just kind of editing it as I go. But I hope you're enjoying it. I love this story and it's going to be a wild ride. Just wait. It's a crazy, crazy science fiction epic. I want to thank my mom, Roxanne Webb, for looking over the story, and Jeremy from HarmoniousIdeas.com for helping edit the audio. Rocketeers, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for checking in, for sharing these stories with your friends and family. It means a ton. Thank you so much. It's the biggest compliment you can give me. Don't forget to tune in next time. This is your host, Greg Webb.